Welcome back to yet another interview on my Baltics journey 2024. Today I'm joined by Nikita Gonca, CEO at the Lande peer-to-peer platform. Nikita, thanks for having me in your office complex today. Looking forward to our conversation. There's a lot of topics on the table that we can address with Lande. So maybe just to start off, very quickly, where do you see the platform at the moment? What is your perception of Lande from the inside? What can you share with our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, sure. First of all, nice to have you in our office, meeting you for the first time. Thank you for coming. And we'll be happy to cover all the hot topics for your readers and our investors. We have a lot of things going on and a lot of progress which we made for the last 6 to 9 months. So, of course, the hottest topic at some point was IT, resolving the old IT bugs, which we successfully finished in Q1, as we also stated to investors, so this is done. In short, the problem was due to the growth problem, you know. In first, it was kind of built more as an MVP, and with the volumes increasing, we needed to transfer everything to more serious level. We hired additional backend programmers, experienced CTO, so we kind of rebuilt everything. We audited each investor's account, we made monitoring for each investor's account, so now each day we see that all the balances are correct, nothing goes wrong, and we monitor it strictly without allowing any mistakes. But also, after relaunching the IT, we now need to relaunch the secondary market, which we also plan to finish in the second quarter. So we are right on track, and this month it plans to be finished and relaunched. We know how much investors need and want secondary market, so this is the highest priority for us. And also, we updated AutoInvest based on the impact and feedback from investors, which was sent to support. And after relaunch, it was perceived better because we lowered the minimum amount for advanced AutoInvest, added some filters like countries, schedule types, and so on. So this is mostly about IT, but IT was not the only change. Actually, I understood that I didn't communicate with bloggers and influencers for 9 months because we had a lot of internal processes to improve. We improved as well legal debt collection. We hired experienced team members, lawyers. We now have a dedicated lawyer in each market inside the team, and also we outsourced some lawyers who help us to, you know, to accelerate and speed up the debt collection process to make it even more rapid. So yeah. What else? We receive a license, which actually something people care the less, because I guess investors know that the performance is something you need to track, and licensing does not, you know, ensure the performance. So if the platform was trustful and working great before, licensing is just a nice tick, but actually doesn't change a lot. And for us, it's just another layer of bureaucracy and additional expenses, to be honest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the main stuff. If I remember something else, we can cover it as well.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I think there's already a lot of key points that we can pick up now in our conversation. So just to get back quickly on the, let's say, perception of Lande, from my standpoint, it seemed like Lande was maybe surprised, or let's say a bit caught off guard from, let's say, the strong growth you had in the first years, because I believe Lande was maybe not as well prepared from the infrastructure to manage the kind of growth and the strong growth you had in your first years of the platform. Is that a statement you would agree?
You're never ready for the growth. I guess we had in plans. So when we started with a vision of the market, of the segment of agriculture, and we tested our vision, we tested demand from investor side, and there was good demand, high demand for this sector of, you know, people want to diversify from payday loans and real estate, something new. And then the platform just grew quite rapidly, in our opinion, and we saw that we will need to improve all the operations, IT, legal, and so on. That was one of the reasons why we fundraised $500,000 to ensure that we have resources to hire those people, you know, to have the resources. And we were planning to prepare it, but the change from the small company, which operate just in Latvia, now we have three markets on top of that. I mean, two markets, but it's kind of a change from monostructure to the spread out structure with daughter companies. It's a different management structure. We have country managers right now in all the countries. We have accounting in all the countries. Mm-hmm. We consolidate the budget. You know, the reporting change, the internal process changed a lot. So it kind of was a good period of growth. And I would say Lande now is like, if it was Lande 1.0, now it's 2.0. So we leveled up, mm-hmm. and we're sure that we can continue in this new setup for next, I don't know, 3-5 years. But then again, if the platform grows rapidly, we will need to change it even more. So there will be Lande 3.0, but yeah. So it's always a process of improving. And I think we managed it well. We had some, of course, with like all the growth, some surprises. Of course, there was a period of unhappy, you know, period for investors with some IT errors, but I think we've proven that we can grow, adapt, and improve it. So I think it's what matters the most. Yeah. Mm.
When we had conversations in the past weeks and months, you lately stressed out, you know, Lande is a totally different platform, just as you exactly. pointed out already, like a lot of changes happened on the operational side, whether it's IT, legal, debt collection, loan origination, so a lot of different areas. Maybe let's go into a couple of those and see what or where the actual improvements have happened. Now, you mentioned obviously IT is a big part of, you know, a platform. It's the backbone, so to say, to process everything and have transactions being processed correctly. Can you explain maybe in simple, non too technical IT terms what the main issue has been with your IT in the past and how you fixed it, and is it now 100% fixed?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, so what usually all the IT projects, I mean startups, doing, they build an MVP, like minimum viable products, to ensure all the functionality, but it usually does not have, you know, this in-depth, you know, security measurements, like automated tests and so on. So with hiring this experienced CTO, he had experience of building a new, like, higher level of structure, a higher level of code itself. He knew what automated checks need to be. Automated check work, as I understand it from IT team, it works like this. So you have a working model, you know the math behind it. You write around the automated test, and you see that after any change you implement, for example, you launch secondary market or you improve AutoInvest, mm-hmm. you see what is did the math change. Mm-hmm. If it changed in one of the loans for 1 cent, it means something's wrong and you cannot launch this upgrade. Yeah? So this is one of the things. The second is ensuring all the monitors, because we work with Lemonway. What does it mean? If you click something on the platform, it's connected through API, through the system with Lemonway. Sometimes it could be like you launch a command to Lemonway, their servers are not working correctly, they didn't receive the command, and it kind of changed on your balance, but it didn't change on your Lemonway balance. Mm-hmm. Yes, so it also could be a problem from their side. For example, we experienced last year a day when Lemonway, to all of their clients, they deposited funds twice.
Okay.
What happens next? If they deposit funds twice, all the people they have auto-invest in force, they invested, and Lemonway is like, no problem, let's take the money back. They take the money back, but there is no money, right? So kind of this kind of things also we need to double check. So security measurements for all ways of transactions. Also adding repayments, yeah? So there can be human error of adding repayments, because some of them sync automatically based on ID, some of them are non-standard, maybe client pays like a big chunk in one payment. It should be distributed correctly. So there are like logical checks how this is distributed, if it's correct, all the balances. When you cannot push, you know, okay, before the math goes correctly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things you need to think about, to check, to ensure the safety mechanisms. to see that it works correctly. And it wasn't a surprise, but it just comes with experience. And after seeing all those cases and having the technical team on board to ensure it, now I can state that Lambda, I would say, one of the safest platforms in terms of how the transactions are distributed, because we went through this hard period when we needed to go really deep into all the stuff. We saw all the potential errors and we fixed them now. So I think without going through the crisis, you don't know your weakest parts, and, mm-hmm. and it's always useful, you know, to go through it. Yeah.
Mm. So now that IT is kind of 100% fixed, from my understanding, or
yeah,
is it?
Secondary market is left. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly the yeah. question I have. So what's then missing? The missing link to get the secondary market back?
Yeah, yeah. Secondary market is as maybe you already know from other platforms, is the most challenging function for IT, at least as we know and we understand, because it is based on the primary investment of one investor, and then you split it, and you can sell it, resell it, sell it in parts, and so on. So it builds many, many layers mm-hmm. of transactions. If one of the layers, for example, is wrong, maybe this Lambda transaction didn't go through, it just creates a disbalance in the loan itself. It means that if the loan was 10K, and one of the transactions of investments went wrong, so it's now 10,000 and 10 euros, but it should be 10,000, right? Yeah. Or something like that. So all the distribution in this loan could be wrong, so you should be very, very sure that all of the secondary sales work correctly. Also, there's a lot of math in the secondary market, because you need to accumulate for how many days you held this part of the loan, how many is left after you sold, how many I bought, how many days, is the loan delaying or paying on time, is it this schedule type or that schedule type, so there could be five different schedule types and so on. So it's a challenging feature, but I think we are on track of implementing. We're now just checking it in-depthly to see some potential errors, and yeah, we'll launch it when the end of the June. Yeah.
End of June. So the target is still on.
Yeah, yeah. We double check each day with the IT team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is highest priority. Yeah.
All right. That's good to hear for the IT side. Let's yeah. switch to loan origination. You were so kind and sent me some data how yeah. the geographic split is from your current portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I saw is basically 60% coming from Latvia, and then each 20% more or less from Romania and Lithuania. The question now that we also had a quick exchange with the country lead for Latvia, who said like 7 million without compromising mm-hmm. quality is, let's say, the peak in Latvia, so to say. Where do you see the future growth from a geographic standpoint of view for Lambda?
Mm-hmm. This is correct, yeah, 7 million for Latvia, and I would say that we don't want to push or take the risk additionally to push it here. Just a small, very small market, but very stable, ensuring the, you know, the baseline, the amount we need. But growth, okay, in answering your question, the growth will come planning from Romania, mm-hmm. but you need to understand that the portfolio grows itself, because there are some longer term loans for 36 months, 24 months, and they just accumulate themselves, so the portfolio
sure.
grows. Yeah,
sure.
Even if you issue 7 million each year, it will be, you know, accumulating. But the growth was always, the vision was Romania and only Romania, because the market is huge, the farmers are bigger, they work on like bigger farms, you know, bigger hectare amount, they have more expensive machinery. It's just, you know, much, much bigger potential there for us. And we don't push Lithuania, because Lithuania is kind of a very interesting market. It's very saturated, very competitive. So it's hard to get clients there. They're very expensive. But at the same time, I couldn't say that the quality is very good there. Mm-hmm. And there are some also limitation in legislation for late fees. So Lithuania is very strict on late fees. So you cannot charge a lot of late fees there.
Mm-hmm.
Their court process is rapid, but you cannot charge late fees so much. So, and in some cases, this is just, you know, needed to cover expenses and so on. So, yeah, Romania is number one, yeah. And by our predictions, next year, it should outgrow Latvia in the volume. Right now, we don't push the volume, because we want, you know, to go very, very securely, because it's new market. Romania does not have loans without fixed like assets like machinery or land at all, because in Latvia we could afford, you know, to do it because we had a lot of experience, knowledge in the market. We have many partners who insure this service. In Romania we don't experiment there at all, only good collateral, very low LTVs. Romania has one of the lowest LTVs for land loans and also kind of high rates, so Romania is actually a good opportunity for investors. So it's not risky at all because strategy is very safe there. We are now going through the first debt collection cases with machinery, with land. Everything goes well. We already gathered one tractor, which is now on sale on the auction. So procedures are working smooth. And then when we will be like 200% sure that it's working all good, you know, we have everything set up like for debt collection as well, you know, several bailiffs, several lawyers who do the court rapidly, go all through the cases, and then we will be, only then we will push for volume, and it's projected like next year, because for us a good cycle is actually 1 year. So we issue the loan, we see the harvest, we see the how it goes, the economy of the farmer, and to test the hypothesis it takes 1 year. Yes, basically.
Is there also outside of those, let's say, three markets, Latvia, Lithuania, and Romania, is also maybe a fourth, fifth market that you're looking at entering already, let's say, within the next 1 or 2 years? You focus on those three?
Yeah, for this year, certainly no. Next year, maybe, because we are now focusing on portfolio quality mostly. But, and we had this transfer from like mono structure to like this expanded structure with several markets and daughter companies for each market. So right now Landa is like, we had a headquarters company in Latvia, and we have three daughter companies who work with farmers who originate the loans. And the mother like works with the platform with fundraising. So basically now where the structure is in force with accounting, with management, with reporting, it's much easier for us to add the fourth country, right? So we could do it next year, but this year we just want, you know, to go through very smoothly with very good quality and test everything once again, and only then to go to the next market, because each market is very different. It looks just, you know, farmers and agriculture, they have similarities, and our license allows us to work on any market, but still each local market has its own specifics. So how do you sell loans to farmers? How do you register collateral? What are the local legislation stuff and so on, debt collection rules? It's really a separate project for us, separate lending business.
When you say like Latvia, good portfolio quality, you say like the baseline is around 7 million, and you say Romania is likely to outgrow the Latvian market. Yeah. Where do you see the ceiling right now, of course, considering your testing phase, but where do you see like a good balance also for...
For Lithuania?
For Romania.
For Romania. So right now I think this year not more than 5 million we see, but next year at least 7 or 7 to 10, I would say. Because the goal actually is not the volume, you know. It could be, you know, okay, we're lending, we need to push for volume. But for us, the goal right now is to be extremely sure about the quality. So right now, only quality comes first, not the volume. So we don't actually, for us, it doesn't actually matter how much we'll issue, 7 or 10, the quality, which we focus on, the default rates and the collateral, and the smoothness of the debt collection as well. So... Because, yeah, you can easily boost the volumes, but then just you have a setback of you know, unhappy investors and so on.
Understandable. So I was thinking instead of new markets, you could also maybe look at, let's say, different product lines within your existing markets. Is that something that you're thinking about?
I'm guessing you're asking about the green loans, right?
in a nutshell, yes. So
many people ask us about the green loans.
Yes.
What's
your opinion about green loans?
I think it's an interesting product, and I already covered it to some of our investors who asked me the same question, that we're actually approached by the some of the credit issuing organizations which issue carbon credits but don't issue loans, and proposed us to create the same product like Heavy Finance does. So yeah, it's a small market, only two agricultural platforms. So it's a good opportunity, I guess, since for some investors who are, you know, have this hunger for higher risk, they could diversify part of their portfolio to this kind of loans, in my opinion. But for us, it's still kind of tricky right now. You know, the European Parliament votings and so on, it's kind of shifting a bit away from green strategy, a little bit. I'm not sure, just this is the predictions of analytics, not my opinion. And there are several scandals with the carbon credits which decrease their value. I know there's regulations coming, we follow this topic as well, we should, you know, like we're in the industry, but there's just a lot of problems right now in the industry. And let's see how it evolves. If it's stable and we are quite sure about the results, we will think to cooperate with somebody, and we will not measure CO2 ourselves. Our main business is lending, to ensuring the portfolio quality. We are kind of not on a path of venture startups that much. We are ready for a slower growth, profitable growth, and we consider ourselves mainly as a lender, not as a startup, like mostly we're a lending company. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, we can see already, let's say, from your competitors' point of view, that, you know, there is some prolonging in the process with the issuing of carbon credits. I think initially the timeline was early this year. Now the timeline is more towards the end of this year. So maybe it's a wise decision to just see and wait how the process unfolds to the very end, what the actual returns are for investors, and then maybe get closer into this topic as well. Could be a sensible approach.
Yeah, it's just based on your strategy, and that's not good or bad or something.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your loan book and the quality of your loan book. We touched base already on a few points. So as I checked from this very morning, it's around 15 million outstanding from your book. Around 9% in default, or let's start off, let's say around 80% are current, you know, to highlight the positives right away. 9% in default and around 4% 60 days plus. So that's around, that's around 10-ish.
But from outstanding, so
from the outstanding right
we
now.
We usually look at it as from issued loans, because, you know, outstanding can change. You can issue more new loans, less new loans. For example, if we stop issuing any new loans at some point, we'll have 100% default rate, right? Because all of the loans will be repaid, and so the statistics is...
Well, if you just have... Well, if it depends if you have defaulted loans, then...
Yeah, I guess it's part of the business always, right?
If you have current loans and they are paid back on time, and then you don't issue any more loans, you just have no loan portfolio anymore.
But usually if I have a little bit of defaults, even the best lenders have a little bit of defaults. But what I'm saying is that it's the case which some of our investors also asks. I mean, they invest in 10 loans, and then they stop investing, 9 loans get repaid, and 1 is defaulted, and you ask, like, I have 100% default in my account. So it's kind of statistics, you know. For us, we see that from all originated loans, the default rate is right now around 5%, 5.5%. The default rate from all loans we issued. Outstanding, it's around 9, you're correct. And what's interesting here is that we also analyze, we have now a track record of 3 years. We analyze which were the riskiest loans and which are prone to default the most. Unfortunately, when we started in 2020, a lot of things changed. You know, the war started, we had energy crisis in Europe due to this war again, and we had harvest price fluctuations, input price fluctuations. And when we started in 2020, we thought, for example, that the harvest loans are extremely nice. We had all these agreements, freeway agreements with grain buying companies. But when the war started, the prices fluctuated so much that actually the farmers were taking the risk, and they even were ready not to bring the harvest to this buyer, because they would prefer to break the contract with the buyer, pay the fee, but and sell it to another buyer for a higher price because of the fluctuations. And
doesn't that strengthen it, the collateral?
Sorry?
Doesn't it strengthen it, the collateral, if the prices then for grain increase?
No, not really, because they could pay other loans from this money, not firstly ourselves. Because the idea behind the harvest loans was that the grain buying company repays us the loan. But then they broke the contracts. We try to pursue the legal, you know, the farmers, but it's not enforceable, this case. So they broke the contract, and that's it, they spend the money, it's not good. So we kind of went away from the harvest loans because of the change in the market. And afterwards, the grain buying companies, they actually removed the fees for the farmer if he doesn't bring the harvest. So they kind of signed the like option to buy, but there is no fees for breaking because the market just became so chaotic in the last 2 years. And market changed, so we adapted as well. So we decreased the amount of harvest loans from 40% to 10%. So it's kind of four times less. Now 90% for the whole portfolio is loans backed with machinery and land with low LTV, I would say 50, 40 on average.
Mm-hmm.
And harvest loans are issued to only the best clients. So we issue now harvest loans only, I mean, without the lender or machinery, only to the clients who are as good as they have a position to say, I have collateral, but I will not give it to you because this loan is very small.
Mm-hmm.
See my, you can see my balance sheets, you can see my assets, liabilities, you can see my profits. I just don't see any motivation to issue you collateral for this 20K loan if I have like a million in assets and a good balance sheet. So they're kind of, you know, at this position to trade, but this is a good sign. And even there, if there are some problems of repaying this small 20K loans for them, next season we can, you know, enforce a collateral on the land, and again we're secured, so we can debt collect if we need.
If we look in, let's say, absolute numbers and where the majority of your defaults are coming from, and by the way, that's a compliment also from my side that you start also now with the monthly performance reports. I think that's also like a fair share of where land is standing at the moment, and also as a good pinpoint for investors to get an idea about the performance. So compliments for taking this decision.
Thank you.
Now, looking at this, we see like the biggest chunk of defaulted projects come from Lithuania. So we spoke about Latvia already, Romania, but what's happening in Lithuania? So it's around 760,000 euros in defaulted right now. It's also like a fair share of the total outstanding portfolio, I think nearly 30%, with I think the total portfolio being around 2.5 million. So maybe can you just explain like what the difficulties are in Lithuania?
There is no difficulties. All those cases are in court right now, and most of them are already in the latest stage. We introduced the stages recently, so you can see visuals that there is a latest stage. There is already a court decision, and the bailiff is seizing the assets to sell them. But in Lithuania, specifics with farmers are like they wait until the end, until the court decision, and then they pay back. So it's kind of very strange business logic for me. Maybe it's what I covered, I think, before we started the interview, that the late fees are very limited for Lithuania. They know that we cannot charge them, you know, huge interest.
There are no big penalties for not paying on time.
Yeah, so you consider it kind of like interest rate for the loan.
Yeah.
And then when you like don't have any options anymore, you're like the bailiff stands here and like writing your tractor down, you know, then you just send the money because, you know,
you look where your wallet is.
And they look for another lender who wastes time. We don't like this market so much.
Mm.
That's why we don't push Lithuania for volume at all. It's just, you know, go steady, only collateral backed loans for Lithuania as well. So if we see a good client with good collateral, with safe collateral, when we're sure that we can get the money back with at least minimal late fees, and it's beneficial for us and for investors, we take these clients. But unfortunately, there's some specifics in just repaying culture, which we see there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you talk about a general debt collection recovery approach that you have at Landenau, how you maybe changed it throughout the last years, and also if there are maybe market specifics that you want to point out?
Yes, sure. So in general, as a team grew, as a, like volumes of origination grew, we onboarded many like legal agents for each country to ensure the capacity. At some point, we didn't have the capacity. We felt it, but also you need to understand that you cannot onboard a new like professional lawyer, debt collection lawyer, in 1 month. It takes, you know, looking, headhunting, hiring, takes 3 months, teaching him another 3 months, so 6 months to onboard a good person. So we worked on that like the last year. Now we already covered it. We have two lawyers in Latvia, which working only on debt collection. We have outsourced lawyers also to do it. So the speed is much more rapid, and we became much more strict with the delays. So if before we waited up to 90 days, we talked to the farmer, he was, you know, hoping for some money, or he was just lying, so we kind of were soft in the beginning. But then we understood that the strategy doesn't work, there is no point in waiting, and we started pushing them very hard, so starting from day 60 already. So we, if there is like 60 days delay, we already send notification that the agreement is broken, and basically the next step is to go to court and calculate the late fees, and that's a game over. And it's really very, very proactive right now, because we have this capacity to do it. But there are many smaller steps before that. So, you know, I think it's boring stuff, but it's standard stuff you should have, like sending notification before the payment, at the payment with 3 days delay, messages, emails, all of that is in force, and all of that is working. After that, we have an in-house person who calls the client, you know, discuss what's happening. He's, you know, proposing him to pay, like warning about the fees potentially he could, you know, need to pay. And then there's just at 30 days, there's official letter when you know, it's official first step to the court, basically. And when you get the second letter as the day 60, is basically if they don't pay, the contract is broken, and it's a difficult situation for the farmer. But, I mean, with this stricter approach, actually they start repaying faster, and there is a much higher possibility of recollection earlier than later, and you save a lot of time for yourself and investors. Yeah. So, unfortunately, this is the only way. Yes, we listened to farmers, we knew the geopolitical problems, we knew the problems with, you know, some prices, there could be a bad season, but unfortunately, we cannot be, you know, as... We need to be strict, yeah. There is no other options.
We touched based already on collateralization and let's say more shift towards collateral or loans backed by collateral like a machinery or land, which you said like has also very, let's say, historic lower default rate on Lande, but it comes along also with a little bit more longer terms. How do you assess the situation? Also understanding investors, you know, also preferably want to have a bit more liquidity, and now temporarily at least secondary market still off, but how do you like consider the, do you feel like there's enough liquidity once the secondary market is back in on the platform, or do you think that additional measures to ensure maybe higher liquidity for investors, and if so, how can you do it?
Yeah, I'm surprised by your overall understanding of this liquidity problem, but yeah, you're correct. Yes, so if we want to issue loans with good collateral, usually those are larger loans. I mean, if there's a land collateral, usually it's a larger loan, 40k, 50k, or 100k. And those loans are harder to finance, of course, because investors want to diversify, right? They want to issue, like, invest 50 euros in hundreds of loans. But so, yeah, and if there's, there's longer loans as well, like up to 3 years. And... investors like short loans, we know that, yeah. And without secondary market, it's a challenge. But since secondary market will be back in June, so this will be solved, seasonally, summer is a period when the loan portfolio grows, because in the autumn, winter, it decreases by repayments, now it grows, so we actually need more investment at this point. And this is a good time to invest in Lande, because the rates are also higher, because there's a demand for investments on the platform. So... yeah, basically it's resolved as always, you know, with some campaigns to stimulate investors. But also, I think the smart investors are taking the opportunity fixing the rate for 3 years. If you invest right now for 3 years for with a rate 13%, for example, there is already a decrease in Euribor. You know, there's the first, I think, last week it was the first step to decrease it. So if you look into 3 years... you need to understand that the rates will be lower, maybe 1-2 basis points. And now fixing the rate for 3 years is actually a very smart decision. So I think some investors understand it. At least we see that they're using this opportunity to invest there. Yeah. So yeah, I think it will balance it out with secondary market and the rates, I would say.
How do you think about... The market demand, are you satisfied at the moment with the, you know, the investor demand on Lande, or do you feel like it could be more, or do you feel like how does it match with your current supply situation?
We are very happy with the demand, but there is a very big impact of seasonality. So really, we didn't launch any campaigns for, I would say, 6 or 9 months. So we didn't lack any funding for 6 or 9 months because we had so many repayments, basically. And we stopped pushing for the volume. We start working on the quality more, so we kind of stayed on this level of 1 million a month, issuing 1 million euros a month across all markets, with better and better quality. So kind of volumes did not increase, but we had so many repayments that actually some people complained, my AutoInvest does not work, you know, it's broken, because we had all the loans were funded instantly from AutoInvest for the last 6 to 9 months. And now this is the first time when, you know, you had some open loans which are funding for at least a couple of days. So it's already better. Mm. And that's mostly because they're larger loans with larger terms, you know, and maybe some investors like are not ready to. And the secondary market is missing. Mm. I think this at the moment secondary will be relaunched. There will be surety about liquidity. Mm, it will be back again. Yeah. So we're quite happy with the demand. Yeah.
Then let's talk about the financials. Can you share already any information regarding the 2023 report and how you performed in general?
Yes, so we are right now finalizing the auditing report for all the group, for like all three markets and Latvia, the headquarters. And it should be ready in months or 2 months. It's a little bit delayed this year because the changes in structure. There is no like problem with that because just the volume increased. We have new accounting teams in all the markets. It's just, you know, a different setup. So, but it will not be very, very delayed. Yeah. So in general, the results are, the last year was close to break even, maybe with small profits, which we see from operational data, from accounting. And this goes well with our plans because we still, there's still around 450K sitting from our funding round. We didn't spend any of those money. It's kind of safety pillow for us to, you know, to ensure that we are sustainable in our growth. And we did a lot of hiring last year still. So we kind of invested all the revenue. Revenue should be at around 2 million. Like a year before, it was around 500K. So it quadrupled. Yeah. It's a strange word. Yeah. So it grew a lot. Like all the structure. Like this is why I think this is Lande 2.0. Yeah. Because of the team. Because for me, I'm much more like I'm happy with the team we built. Yeah. You know, all the departments. You know, I'm happy to come to work. We have amazing country manager. We have amazing technical team. We have amazing lawyers. Like so, setup is great. Yeah. And we invested a lot in people last year, I would say, and this is the most important resource. So yeah, about financials, so they will be published as always under the transparency page. So, but for now everything is stable. We have reserves, so it's kind of going good and well with the strategy.
Will be audited.
Yeah, sure. Last year, every year it will be audited. Yeah, the same company.
Okay. And profitability, will it again be around break even, the performance from last year?
Yeah, we are aiming to break even right now. Profits are not the goal. We reinvest everything because, you know, it's a growth stage and the profits will come with portfolio. And yeah, now the goal is to ensure that we have all the positions in force, all the capacities we need to ensure the operations, because if you start to, you know, save money on people, at some point you will have these problems with either IT, either legal, either everything else, or with license. We don't want that. So it's actually very costly to set up such a platform. It's incredibly costly. IT is expensive, licensing is expensive. We now need to pay a quarterly fee from the revenue amount to the regulator to ensure the license, you know. So we hired a separate person who ensures the procedure implementation of licensing, so that just a lawyer who does the licensing, you know, each day. And
can you talk about the financial resources that come along with the ECSP license? So
What do you mean by resources?
Like the staff you need to hire to, you know, maintain with all the legal compliance?
I mean, you should imagine, like, first you need to get the license to write all the procedures to set up everything, you know, Lemonways and IT and procedures. It costs a lot. Then we have a head of compliance and legal, Yanis, who leads this process. Then we hired additional lawyer who is specifically professional in this field on a full-time salary. Then you need to a person who is doing the data security audits and all this stuff. Mm. All the licensing features are should be implemented on the platform, so you also need IT resources to implement it, and so on and so forth. So it's incredibly expensive, I would say. Yeah. We don't want to calculate at the moment. We don't have any options. We need to implement it, so we just do it, and that's it.
Yeah. Sure. And maybe lastly, for the financials, one specific question from the monetization standpoint of view: have you adjusted anything around your monetization model in terms of how you charge fees to borrowers, or becoming lately also a bit more popular in the market to pick investors' pockets here and there about withdrawal fees or secondary market fees? Is that something that you're looking at as well, or just how did you maybe change or adjust your monetization model?
No, we did not change anything, I would say. It's and we don't have plans for the fees right now. I think it's just it's an industry baseline that investors are not charged by it. So the way
how you think they should be?
I think they should not, because the way you adapt your pricing is by charging interest rates. So I mean the borrowers, right? So if you have a lot of money, you just decrease the rates, right? We saw it on different platforms. They have a huge demand, they decrease the rates. So why should you add the fees, right? So, but I understand the platforms who are doing it, because Lemonway is expensive, and you pay per each account, which is even if it's zero or not investing, you still pay for it, yeah. Mm. And if you have a huge amount of investors maybe who stopped investing, then you're kind of stuck with those accounts and you don't know what to do. Should you close them or should you, So
can you talk specifics? How much a Lemonway account costs for London?
It's around 10k a month, yeah, altogether.
For altogether?
Yeah. Okay. So for the base infrastructure and for each IBANs, because these virtual IBANs are a separate feature which ensures that the investors' funds go directly to their account. Mm. Because if you don't use this feature, they kind of go into same account, and sometimes they're lost and not easy to track. So it's not... We use it for, I think, from since the beginning, because, yeah.
But I'm assuming it's not unlimited amount of investors, right? So there must be a certain package?
It's for our amount. It's charged based on the amounts of wallets which are active.
Okay.
So if the wallets
right now you have around 7,000 or something, right?
We have 7,000 active investors, or even 7,300. Mm. And we also have borrowers, so I think 500 active and 500 repaid. Mm. So 1,000 of borrowers, maybe, yeah. So it's close to 10k of users on the platform. So, and if you imagine like 100 thousands of investors, of course you can discuss the pricing maybe for larger volumes, but it's really expensive. I can't imagine what larger platforms are paying to Lemonway. Yeah. Mm. But actually it's, I don't know, but it's the most reputable option which I know for investors' fund safety. And you have other options with smaller payment institutions, but I don't know if you want to risk it yet. Mm-hmm. So you should pay for it. You pay for the brand.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And then maybe just to wrap up, outlook, targets for this year and years to come, what is currently on the table at Lande? What are you looking at? What are your targets that you want to achieve, let's say, the end of this year and maybe beyond as well then?
So we can kind of humble with that. So we decided that this year we are going with improving all of the processes, perfecting them, not rushing anything new, not rushing new market, not rushing new services or fees or lending products, anything. So we focus on stability, we focus on portfolio quality and on debt collection. So those are the main goals. And next year we will see.
All right. Sounds very humble. I agree. But that might not always be the worst approach if it's a more investor-centered and investor-focused approach that you're taking. All right, then I say thank you very much. Do you feel like there's anything left maybe that we should talk about, or?
No, I think we covered everything here. But actually, our humble approach is bad news for investors because there will not be more loans to invest, only 1 million a month. So
competition is up. Then, yeah, I think I say thanks a lot, Nikita, for the time, for the invitation in your office today. And thanks for giving us further insights into the Lando operations and what's about to happen on the platform. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Danny. Yeah.